This Twit News is brought to you from our LastPass studios. Stay in control when it comes to your company's access points and authentication. LastPass makes enterprise-level security simple for your remote workforce. Check out LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Twit News number 354, recorded Tuesday, May 19th, 2020, Microsoft Build 2020 Keynote. This Twit News is brought to you by LastPass. Prepare for the unexpected in your business with LastPass, trusted by over 17 million users and 61,000 businesses worldwide, including us. Visit LastPass.com/twit to find out how they can help you. This is Twit News Special number 354, recorded Tuesday, May 19th, 2020, Microsoft Build Keynote. Hello, everybody. Leo Laporte here. Micah Sargent is joining me because he's got to be here in about 10 minutes anyway for iOS today.
Please, it's Micah Sargent today.
Well, and, you know, normally I don't think of you as a Windows user, except that you do have that fabulous Microsoft Laptop 3.
I do. Which Surface Laptop 3. It's I almost said Canary. It's not Canary. It's Elvis.
It's Elvis because it's blue Alcantara. Mm-hmm. And so we call it the blue suede laptop. Micah's also kind of you've been hosting Windows Weekly when I'm gone. And so you've become kind of the Windows noob.
I am the Windows noob and a happy Windows noob, yeah. You know?
So this is the first of a number of developer conferences that will be streamed instead of presented live. Google decided not to do Google I/O. That was last week. That was just disappeared. Microsoft Build is this week, and next month it'll be Apple's WWDC, also streamed live. We are going to go in a few minutes to the keynotes. Satya Nadella will give a short 20-minute keynote. Then they do a thing, and they've done this in the years past, where they bring some, I can't remember if it's high school or college kids in to demonstrate their inventions and vie for some prizes. And then if we're lucky, we'll get to Scott Hanselman and Scott Guthrie. The two Scots are doing presentations as well. We'll stay with it as long as we can. Normally, we begin iOS today at 9 a.m. Well, normally we begin at more like 10 a.m. So
yeah, we've got a little bit of time.
And so Micah has kindly agreed to get up a little bit early and keep me company today. Right now, it's Donna Sakar, it looks like. And let's check in with the something's going on. Yeah, there's Donna Sakar. She used to be head of the Insider program. Not sure what Donna's doing these days.
To talk through the Modern Developer Toolkit with GitHub, Visual Studio, Windows, and much, much more.
So I know an online dev squid and cage match is not exactly the build.
I'm expecting Satya today to talk about open source software. Yesterday, Microsoft admitted that we were wrong about open source software. And in fact, there was a big graphic on the stage, Microsoft hearts open source.
But this is after calling Linux a cancer, right?
A cancer. That's, of course, what Steve Ballmer, the former CEO of Microsoft, said. Brad Smith, speaking yesterday, said Microsoft was on the wrong side of history when open source exploded at the beginning of the century. I think exploded is not the best choice of words, but okay. And I can say that about me personally. This was at a recent MIT event. The good news is, Smith added, if life is long enough, you can learn that you need to change. Microsoft is shipping a full Linux kernel in Windows 10. The H1 update, which will come out later this month, actually any day now. It uses the Chromium open source project as its browser engine from Edge. And of course, Linux is the number one operating system on Microsoft's Azure. So Microsoft has definitely changed its tune. Traditionally the maker of the number one closed source operating system in the world and still number one. Maybe they're opening up. Let's go right now to the beginning of the conference because it's 8:20 in the West Coast.
See, look at that. There's so much touch going on. I haven't done a lot of touching with my Surface laptop.
We're just seeing a short video I wonder if Satya will be in his kitchen. That'd be kind of cool.
Oh, that would be cool.
Somehow I doubt it. Microsoft Build 2020, the first virtual developer conference.
Good morning and welcome to Build. We're living through extraordinary times. I want to first extend my deepest sympathies to all who have been impacted by COVID-19 and deep gratitude to everyone working so tirelessly to get us through this crisis. While it's hard not to be together in person, I'm comforted by this community being gathered here virtually.
I'll
Build
save
is
you
one
a Google
of my
search.
Favorite events of the year.
RGV2CW doesn't mean anything. It looks like
I looked it up too.
It's something probably such as special thing for his kids or something.
While this year feels different,
I can't find it anywhere.
Coming together as a community is more important than ever. There are tens and thousands of you tuned in from dozens of countries around the world. It's fantastic to see. Our industry has been called upon to help address the world's most acute needs through this crisis. And I'm proud of how all of you have raised the game and been there when the world needed you the most.
Traditionally, these are
serving as those digital first responders
talks more than
the first responders.
Do you think that Microsoft Build frame behind him is real, or is that digitally added?
I think that's real.
A point of light amidst this crisis. Seeing developers come together with those on the front lines.
I like those shelves.
Johns Hopkins University epidemiologists and software developers created that canonical dashboard to track the spread of COVID-19. Adaptive Biotechnologies is using the cloud compute and AI to decode the immune system's response to the virus. In the United Kingdom, a cross-section of manufacturers adjusted their production lines to build ventilators for the NHS, using mixed reality to guide workers through the process. The NBA is using the power of the cloud and Xbox to engage fans and maintain the joy of the game. Role of developers is more important than ever. Already, we've seen something like 2 years worth of digital transformation in just 2 months. And we've seen how critical digital technology is in the three phases of this crisis, from emergency response to the recovery phase to the reimagining the world going forward. Every organization will increasingly need the ability at a moment's notice to remote everything from manufacturing to sales to customer support.
These vision talks are very slippery, very hard to get a hold of. And I don't know from how the immune if system it's the way Mr. Nadella thinks or talks, but it's just very difficult to grasp anything
to pull anything from it. Yeah. And in fact, Paul and Mary Jo have been known to sort of translate the vision talks after they've completed.
We're listening for certain keywords.
Microsoft to empower every person and organization on the planet to achieve more.
So that's a very different mission than a traditional Microsoft mission. To empower every person on the planet to achieve more is exactly the opposite of what Microsoft's mission statement used to be, which is Windows on every computer in every office and home.
At the core of all that we do and build. Over the next couple of days, you're going to hear about this new opportunity across the entire tech stack. And I want to give you a bit of a thumbnail for it. Let's start with professional developers. GitHub is the home for developers. It's where developers build software together.
And of course, the home of open source.
50 million developers use GitHub, and they're more active than ever.
Wait, do they own it?
And Visual Studio Code is most popular code editor.
Right. Yeah.
And it was quite disruptive in the open source community when they bought it, but it's settled down now. I think people understand now Microsoft's
pull requests, pushes, collaboration. The adoption of CI/CD with GitHub Actions to drive both quality
has been Microsoft's
so critical during a time of crisis.
Satya Nadella himself changed it when he became CEO.
I think I remember that change. I wrote an article about it.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Bringing together the best of GitHub, Visual Studio, and Azure to help you to go from idea to code and code to cloud. you already see this in action, right? Codespaces is a great example. It's coming to GitHub, allowing developers to quickly provision a dev box in the cloud, pre-installed with Visual Studio Code and fully configured for your dev staff.
That's an interesting combination of Azure and GitHub.
Any device,
just I just saw they're adding Azure to a image sensor for, I think, mobile phones, which is sort of artificial intelligence machine learning.
Yeah, Sony's selling a smart chip that does the AI on the chip, on the sensor.
You know, check on quality, security checks, and then view even the app live in Azure. With WSL2, Windows is the best.
This goes up against Google's Code Engine, which has been very popular with developers and Amazon's Lumberyard and various other code tools.
So it's great to see the progress. The other area that I'm very excited about, and for the first time we're going to talk about this at a developer conference as another member of the tool chain, is Power Platform. There are 3.5 million people using Power Platform today to create applications, bots, workflows, dashboards. And Power Platform is a tool for end users to build low-code, no-code applications and customize and extend.
Low-code, no-code. Yeah, there's the key words.
This is an enterprise platform, traditionally business intelligence. Keep not such up. I'm not.
For pro devs, right? ISVs can expose their applications through Power Platform connectors, and pro devs can do the same using this as an extensibility framework so that citizen developers can amplify their work. And we've seen tremendous momentum. During the month of March, we saw a 50% increase in first-time Power Apps users. And this year, we've seen a 70% increase in professional developers and 70,000 organizations starting to use Power Apps. From New York to Washington, states are using Power Platform to inform citizens, providing these self-screening tools, tracking critical resources and supplies. And you'll hear more about the advances in Power Platform broadly, but there are two in particular I want to call out. First is how we are bringing RPA, or robotic process automation, connectivity to legacy apps and services with our acquisition of Softmotive. And the second, how we are adding new professional developer extensibility to Power Virtual Agents, which is really getting used extensively even through this COVID crisis. The next building block I want to talk about is that distributed infrastructure, the fabric that every developer needs for their applications. Today, over 95% of the Fortune 500 use Azure. And now more than ever, organizations in every industry are relying on Azure to support their critical workloads, from healthcare triage with AI-assisted bots to digital twins in manufacturing to e-commerce and retail. This infrastructure enables you.
And of course, Microsoft Azure famously beat Amazon for the Pentagon's JEDI contract. It's a $1 billion contract over 10 years.
We have 16 That's right.
Amazon sued. Regions, more than any other the judge did not seem too receptive to Amazon's lawsuit.
That extends to the edge with all the flexibility you need, from Azure Edge Zones for 5G to Azure Sphere for secure IoT. Over the next 2 days, you'll see how we're innovating at every layer, from edge to hybrid to data and AI. We've always led in with hybrid computing. Azure Arc is the first control plane built for a multi-cloud, multi-edge world. And today, we're taking it further with Azure Arc enabled for Kubernetes. And at the data layer, Azure is the first cloud with limitless data and analytics capabilities that can deliver a cloud-native data estate for every organization. We literally rebuilt and reimagined the cloud data estate using the new memory hierarchy of the cloud. And today, you'll see Azure Synapse Link, a new architecture that helps developers do live analytics on real-time transactional data. Right, bringing Cosmos DB and Synapse together is just, I think, going to be a pattern that we're going to see increasingly. In AI, we have the most comprehensive portfolio of tools, frameworks, and infrastructure. You'll hear about updates to Azure Cognitive Services for speech, the bot framework, from Project Bonsai, which brings intelligence to physical systems. We will also have new capabilities in Azure Machine Learning to better understand the interpretability of models, protect using differential privacy, control, and the auditability of data as well as models, right? This is all very critical for building responsible AI. And finally, we'll share the progress with the world's first AI supercomputer in the cloud. This is something that we started last build, and we've made tremendous progress. Everything from the infrastructure to large-scale multimodal models acting as platforms themselves that other developers can use. Moving to Microsoft 365, we are building the world's productivity cloud as a people-centric, multi-device, multi-sense experience. We've seen tremendous scale and intensity of usage with Microsoft 365. There are over 75 million daily active users of Teams and 1 billion monthly active devices running Windows 10 today. And moreover, we've seen 75% increase in the minutes spent on Windows 10 in a month. This translates to a rich
RGV could either stand for Rio Grande Valley, new application, rail guided vehicle, remote gate valve, or it is the well known acronym for Ram Gopal Verma, a well known Bollywood director. Could it be Microsoft is making an announcement about its film ambitions? I don't know.
It's launching Microsoft TV Plus.
I don't know. The CW to me will always be a TV network, but I just don't know what it's
taking this to the next level. With Teams and the Fluid framework, you can build Teams apps with new collaborative canvas, right? Collaboration now is first class in any application you build. With Teams and Power Platform, you can build and embed powerful apps, bots,
low-code,
workflows,
no-code
dashboards for business process. With one click, you know, add to Teams experience.
Enterprise,
I think it's going to completely change how frontline in particular uses Teams. And with Teams and Visual Studio, professional developers have the ability to now have integrated workflows to build apps and Teams. And now to Windows, right? At Build, Windows has always been the most important platform for us. And we
Not
see
anymore.
More developers across a variety of frameworks use Windows as their dev box. And now we're unifying the Windows platform, allowing for seamless integration across both Win32 and UWP APIs using Project Reunion. It's an exciting announcement.
Windows
10X. And, you know, I'm
10X.
Looking forward to what you as developers can do with Project Reunion. And with Windows Virtual Desktop, you can now stream your apps built for the Windows 10 install base beyond the 1 billion Windows 10 install base because of streaming and its reach. This is just a snapshot of what we will share with you over the
next
48
Project Reunion is their new
hours.
Initiative to allow
These
developers to
tools,
write once and target all
to build
Windows devices. So
gotcha.
Existing Win32, UWP.
As developers, you have that opportunity as well as a responsibility to define what should be rebuilt, what should be reimagined, and what should be left behind. And we are already seeing developers
we'll probably hear
have
a lot about
impact.
That this week.
Folding at Home is... It's an amazing project. It's a distributed computing project that harnesses the collective power of millions of volunteers to aid COVID-19 research efforts. Let's take a look.
We know
it's a nice plug for Folding at Home. This is good.
The unfortunate experience of losing most of my vision due to macular degeneration. One of the things that drew me to studying protein dynamics is that it's something that nobody can see. That really levels the playing field for me. If we can understand how proteins fold, then we should also be able to understand how they misfold in Alzheimer's disease or how they malfunction in cancer. Folding at Home is basically a big computer cluster where people around the world volunteer to run simulations for us and send the data back to our servers. We can take problems that would have taken 500 years to complete on a single desktop and start solving them within a matter of 6 months.
It feels amazing that an ordinary person like me can help experts hopefully cure illnesses that are uncurable
today. You
should
see her power bill.
With the current immediacy of the pandemic, we brought the whole thing to bear on COVID-19. So over the last 2 months, we've gone from having around 30,000 to 4 million devices running Folding at Home.
Generating
Microsoft has been partnering with us as we scale up in such a short period of time. GitHub started running our client on some of their hardware, and we're making use of Azure resources to run some of the large simulations. We've already uncovered a couple of these novel binding sites in the virus and are starting to delve into the structural details that provide new means to target these proteins.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wonder if they were using Skype.
It's great to talk to you on Teams. It's truly inspirational to see the progress you've made in such a short time. It's really remarkable. Maybe you can start by telling us more about the technology behind Folding at Home.
So Folding at Home is a
distributed computing project for understanding all the moving parts of proteins and how we can control them. The basic idea behind the technology is to build what is essentially a map of the different structures that a protein can adopt as it goes about its function and has all of these moving parts. And so we've called out on the internet for citizen scientists around the world to contribute their computing power to running simulations of how all the atoms in a protein move over time. And on the server side, we collect all that data and build up these maps and identify the interesting features like new therapeutic targets.
Right. So this is where you're going to start using more some of the Azure and GitHub. From what I understand, you're going to even use that to sort of go to the next phase of this.
Exactly. So Azure has been huge. So we've got these active learning algorithms that let us focus our compute resources on the structures that are most useful to us. Running on Azure, and along with that, running servers that let us collect all that data and productively engage with all of our volunteers. We have a real opportunity to impact COVID-19, but this is also a general platform that we can bring to bear on Alzheimer's disease and antibiotic resistance and cancer and a long list of other things. So I'm excited about the engagement we're getting.
Oh, that's fantastic to hear, Greg. And how can people get involved in your project?
Yeah, there's a wide variety of ways. So the first thing is to go to foldingathome.org/start-folding, and you can download our software and start contributing your personal computing power. But if you want to get more involved, there are a variety of ways. So we have a huge need for developers right now and to help build out this platform and scale it in response to all the interest that COVID-19 has generated and the opportunity we have to make a difference.
Yeah, no, tremendous. Thank you so much, Greg. It's such a great example of how you and a small group of developers and scientists working together can make such a big difference. So thank you for sharing your story and good luck going forward. And we love to be, you know, involved deeply with you.
Thank you. I'm excited and look forward to it.
It's incredible how a small group of developers and scientists working together can make such a huge difference. And reflecting on this power of community, music has always been a unifying force in connecting us.
It's inspiring to see musicians and developers at
the San Francisco Conservatory of
or
Music
has a kid playing a
working
piano
together
like last time.
To teach and perform virtually. Let's take a look.
This is the San Francisco Conservatory of Music.
I picked up violin when I was 3. What really got me practicing was the idea that, oh, I get to go perform. I get to go connect with an audience.
And we know
before
that symphony
before COVID came along, San Francisco Conservatory of Music was teaching in person for over 100 years.
So we were given a task of putting all of our classes and performances online in a matter of weeks.
Mike and I were there a few months ago. Our last concert ever.
Oh my God, that was our last concert.
The Vegas Stream software to achieve this mission. It allows us to bring Microsoft Teams video calls into the software. You can take data that's in our organization, pull it into Vegas Stream, and create your titles, polling, chat messages, and then broadcast this out to the world.
That's a Sony product. That's interesting.
We love the in-person interaction and the feeling of the audience. I've been using Teams to connect with my audience, who I can't see in person. It's really amazing to look at a screen and see all the faces.
Even though it's been a challenging time, I think it's a really exciting time and seeing how education is going to be changed for the better.
So that was basically streaming from Teams to...
Yeah, to teach.
It's
yeah.
a huge challenge.
Gotcha.
Ali, maybe we can start with you. How are you currently using technology to address this issue?
So when my calendar first kind of evaporated, I started doing live stream performances. And I realized pretty quickly that something was missing. I realized that the thrill of performing for me is not being seen, but seeing my audience. And so the beauty
That's when I started to use Zooms. I mean,
in performing
Teams.
is that I can look out and see in these windows the reaction and the collaborative effort I make with my audience.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And so, Tudor, why did you choose to build this app and what was that inspiration? And obviously, you know, you chose to integrate it with Teams, and Ali already talked a little bit about
why. It's interesting, they're pitching Teams as a platform for developers to build apps on.
Well, I'll start with something she just said. Inspiration is to enable people like her, to enable people to effectively communicate through video. So it's very exciting that this has come together. When we talk about Teams and Microsoft, Microsoft 365 offers a very rich source of highly useful, relevant information, everything from spreadsheets, notes, who's on my team, what's being said on chat, what kind of reactions do people have? And then the Microsoft Graph APIs give us a quick, intelligent access to this data so that people like Ali can then communicate effectively. But it's really exciting when you combine that with the power of Teams, which is the core communication infrastructure in Microsoft, so that you're able to effectively bring together this kind of communication that she needs to be able to do.
No, I think that beautifully captures it, because it's not just the one team session. It's what happens before the session, after the session, and all of it being constructed together. And maybe, Ali, how has this benefited you as a performer? Has this new medium of instruction, performance changed how you approach it?
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of this new frontier of performing to any place in the world now. It's opened up opportunities that I wouldn't have thought of usually as somebody who performs mostly in person. Suddenly I'm using the medium of video and live streaming performance in ways that I never even considered possible before.
No, that's tremendous. Thanks so much, Ali and Tudor, for what you're doing and inspiring us to think about this new medium in new ways. Thank you so much and have a fantastic build. I'm looking forward to watching alongside you.
Nice.
Why? I guess the performers are in color and the audience is in black and white, or no? I don't know.
I think that the music is bringing color to everyone.
Oh, it is. You're right. They were black and white, and now they're color. You nailed it. All right. So apparently that concludes Satya Nadella's remarks.
Okay.
You can continue showing us, because they're going to go now to the Innovators Forum. They did this last year. And it's an interesting and cool thing. I think we'll stick with it for a little bit. I would love to get this through this to the Scott Hanselman presentation, because I'm very curious. Microsoft announced some new things. Satya Nadella referred to Project Reunion. This is an attempt to unify the UWP, which is Universal Windows Platform, and Win32. Win32, which really pretty much should have died a long time ago, but Microsoft refuses to let any technology die because of so many legacy users. But, of course, that's led to fragmentation. So the idea is Project Reunion will allow developers to write once, modernize their apps using C++ or .NET or React Native, and create one app that will run everywhere Windows runs. So UWP was an attempt to do this, which kind of flopped. And now they're going to try something new, which is Project Reunion. So this is an attempt to create a system to develop on for developers. And I think their hope is developers who are writing Win32 apps or have Win32 apps or UWP apps will move to Project Reunion and keep them modern. So the Imagine Cup is a fun event, and we can watch a little bit of this.
He's my co-host, Corey Sanders. He's also the corporate vice president for Microsoft Solutions. And we are coming to you from the safety of our homes.
You remember we got sucked into this last year for about half an hour.
The impact of this moment in time will no doubt be felt and discussed for generations to come. It's our hope that it also provides a new sense of inspiration to innovate even more for the good of all. At Microsoft, we take great pride in our mission to empower every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more. And never has this quest felt more important than it does today. That's why we're so proud to continue to host the Imagine Cup, which helps student developers achieve their dreams of making a positive impact. What started as thousands of teams competing has been narrowed down to the six finalists.
They're really trying to give it some production value,
whether it's
even
much
though it's
needed solutions for mental
basically
health,
a Zoom call.
agriculture, or a new tool in the fight against misinformation online. All the
it is interesting to see
the
what
these
kids have come up with.
I know I'm excited to see how this all
think they're college kids.
And who takes home the championship.
I can't remember if they're college or high school.
And whoever that is will have earned their place at the top, having outlasted thousands of teams from more than 170 countries. Impressive to say the least. And here they are, the finalists for this year's Imagine Cup World Championship, the winners of their regional competitions, all with varying experiences and motivation that led them here.
Tremor Vision started off as just a hackathon project 6 months ago. And how far we've come in the Imagine Cup is really an honor.
The Imagine Cup journey has been challenging, but so is everything else that is worth doing.
Our inspiration is people who have lost their voice due to cancer.
One of our teammates has a relative who's dealing with Alzheimer's disease, and we wondered why today's technology doesn't really offer as much as it should be for a disease as dangerous as this one.
I actually lost one of my close friends to suicide.
This is actually about 20 times better than the Shark Tank format they used last year. So I'm actually,
they did Shark Tank?
Basically, that's what they did, yeah.
Refining
and judges and a panel, and the kids had to present.
Is kind of bugging us.
Not being able to present in person is definitely has been a factor.
So we're trying to look at it as an opportunity. We never really had this much time just to sit at home and do stuff and to work.
The first world finals team for the 2020 regional final is Team Redwalls from Tunisia, the Knights from Kenya, Deep Tector for the United States, Tremor Vision in the United States, Team Hollow from Hong Kong.
It's really
winning
great.
The Imagine Cup would be a life-changing moment for me. I mean, holding the flag of my country up would be a huge honor for me and my team.
Winning this Imagine Cup will tell the Africans and the rest of the world that we actually have the capabilities of doing great things.
The journey has been fun. If I may add, hella fun.
Well, I'm excited to see what our finalists have hella to share, and thrilled to introduce the panel of esteemed judges they'll be presenting to.
They've competed in over 50 different tech competitions and hackathons around the globe and are currently part of the Intel Software Innovators Program. Joining us from Los Angeles, please welcome sisters Penelope and America Lopez, a.k.a. the Cybercode Twins.
That's cute.
Next, she innovated her way through the likes of IBM and MasterCard before taking over as the CEO of Reboot Representation, where she focuses on the improvement of underrepresented women graduating with computing degrees. From New York City, welcome Duana Franklin Davis. And he's well known for his efforts in protecting customer privacy and being the driving force in Microsoft's pledge to being carbon negative by 2030. Please welcome the president of Microsoft, Brad Smith.
Let's find out what you're most excited about for this year's Imagine Cup. Duana, let's start with you.
I am so excited. There are so many amazing teams. Congratulations to all of you for making it this far in the competition. Innovation for good. So all of the efforts that you guys have worked on so far are going to make such a difference, and I just can't wait to see how you guys are going to bring it.
Cybercode Twins, Penelope and America, what are you most looking forward to?
I gotta look at this. Like, this is like a hackathon that's on a marathon, and we're so excited to see the students rising up to make an impact to where they believe innovation is needed most.
Yeah, so very excited to see all your guys' projects.
That's pair programming.
Cybercode Twins, I love that's your energy. Awesome. Brad, what are you hoping to see today from these young developers?
Well, I'm really excited to see what you all have created, the innovation. I think it's a special day. This is literally an opportunity to see people and creations that connect the world. I wish we were in the same room together, but it's pretty amazing to all be connected together this way.
Well, it's time to get our game on. Here's a look at how the competition will play out.
lightning round. Our six finalists will each have 1 minute to impress our judges beyond what they already know of the project.
So this is essentially from the same format, but I have to say it's a lot better with less of the hosts and more of the teams and the judges.
Presentations. The final votes will be tallied based on their use of technology, consideration of diversity, inclusion, and accessibility, as well as innovation, concept, and feasibility. And the world champion will take home $100,000 in cash, $50,000 in Azure grants, and to top it all off, a mentoring session with the CEO of Microsoft, Satya Nadella. Neat.
Team Holo, your time begins now.
Our app monitors your general lifestyle habits that affect your well-being.
This is challenging to present on Teams or Skype. That's tough. Microsoft
Azure, yeah, that would be nerve-wracking when something would go wrong.
To join Holo and our professionals on our mission to make mental health care smart and accessible.
Every 3 seconds, someone in our world is affected by Alzheimer's. That is why we created I Remember, a first-of-its-kind mobile solution designed for the well-being of both the patients and their caregivers. Today, I Remember is a solution for our parents, but tomorrow it could be for us.
Fake videos called deepfakes are becoming increasingly easy to generate with AI.
Oh, that's from my university. That's Mizzou. Nice.
Yeah.
Built from the ground up with Azure Cloud Services, Detector is the first and only website with
that's how they say Azure in the Missouri, Azure.
Detector, using AI to fight AI.
We present to you the Reading Bot. Powered by artificial intelligence, it is an autonomous mobile robot that makes reading safe by being herbicide free, economical, efficient, and it is simple to use. The Reading Bot will solve agriculture's biggest problem, one robot at a time.
We made Syrinx, a hands-free wearable device, run on Azure to generate these vibration patterns from voice recordings. Syrinx enables you to sound like yourself again.
10 million worldwide are affected by Parkinson's disease. Although there's no cure, treatments can manage symptoms, but are most effective when Parkinson's is detected early. That's why we built Tremor Vision, a web-based platform supported by Azure Cognitive Services that empowers you with reliable means of detecting early onset Parkinson's. Tremor Vision, giving you a head start in your fight against Parkinson's.
This is great. I love this.
Nice work, everybody. Judges, it's up to you. Dawana, let's start with you. Who do you want to know more about? And why?
The team that I think I want to hear more solutions about would be Team Tremor Vision. It's something that impacts my mom directly. I want to hear more about how your solution will help impact that.
Identical twins, America and Penelope. While there are technically two of you, today you are operating as a set and have one combined vote. Which of the five remaining finalists are going to be moving on? And what was it about their solution that caught your attention?
We're always in need of more medical innovation. We're happy to choose. Moving forward, will be snakes. Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Sorry, yes.
So excited to hear more.
Oh, so this is the first sort of...
Who will be the last team?
Cut.
I'm in the unenviable position of disappointing three groups and exciting one. But I'd like to hear more about Holo. I was really excited by the way you've worked with two NGOs that appear to be real professionals in the mental health space. So I'm interested in learning more.
What an exciting beginning to this year's Imagine Cup.
Focused.
So a huge congratulations to Team Holo, Team Syrinx, as well as, of course, Team Tremor Vision
for
advancing
tears.
To the next stage.
So
well done, everyone. And to the other teams, a huge thank you for sharing your inspiring
solutions. Yeah, we didn't get
solutions.
The longer presentations that we got last year.
Corey, we are down to three teams who are ready to rumble and show Brad, Dawana, America, and Penelope what they've got. Team
maybe
Holo,
that's what this
you're
is.
Up
okay.
First. Here's a quick look at how they prepared for this moment.
Unlike other mood tracking apps, we're innovating beyond the self-reports, which may be inconsistent and biased. With the help of
Let's go, Holo!
Your slides are absolutely beautiful. But in a 3-minute presentation, they're way too much.
Trim it down significantly to just like the high level core pieces.
Could you give just a little bit more of like the technology behind it?
Wow, what a difference a week makes.
It's unique and it can really impact lives.
Woo! Come on, Piers, let's do this.
Well, let's see how that practice pays off for them. Team Hollow, your time begins now.
Hi, I'm Cameron. This is Piyush, and we're Hollow. 500 million worldwide have mental illness, but everyone has mental health needs.
I'm getting nervous.
With millions of kids around the world, like my friend Mark, that could potentially take their lives, and especially under isolation with COVID-19, current solutions aren't sufficient. We utilize services from Azure to help us achieve the detection and data handling process. We provide you with an early intervention tool, understanding your condition on our simple dashboard, suggesting what may be affecting your mental health to an accuracy of 86%. Your therapy path is actually automatically adjusted through AI, depending on how intense or serious your symptoms may be. This model is actually trained by the professionals that we work with and improves over time using the big data that we have access to. Checking our models with trained counselors and psychologists at University of Hong Kong, whilst having the privacy in mind and not as an afterthought, we're complying with a lot of international privacy ordinances. So for our proof of concept, we've gotten support from Hong Kong's Entrepreneurship Hub and gained some user interaction with over 300 users from our two partner mental health NGOs. And we'll actually be charging these NGOs as a software as a service for $99 per month per staff, giving them access to a web app platform. And in the future, we're looking at scaling through multiple verticals, powered by Azure, equipped with comprehensive behavioral tracking and AI personalized therapy paths, whilst remaining 100% accessible without needing wearables, and in collaboration with NGOs and therapists, we'll give you Hollow. Thank you.
All right. Next up, we have Team Sirens. And here's a look at their work leading up to today's championship.
Voice loss is not uncommon. Approximately 300,000 people lose their voice every year around the world.
I think maybe a little bit more specifics in your presentation would be helpful just to head off any questions.
What can I actually do with the software? What does that part look like?
I don't think you need a lot of additional background to explain it and then go straight to your solution.
We can show the people around the world who have lost their voice that they don't have to endure it anymore.
Let's go, Sirens.
I'm excited to see the results of all that hard work. Team Sirens, your time begins now.
His name is Takashi. He lost his voice due to throat cancer. He has to use his one hand when he's talking. First, please listen to his voice. Voice loss is not uncommon. About 300,000 people lose their voice every year, in part due to cancer. Syrinx vibrates your throat to create a sound that becomes speech when filtered through your mouth. We are using Microsoft Azure to process and store your voice data.
So it's actually activating your vocal cords so that it comes out of your mouth.
Then, our web application automatically runs voice processing tools to generate these particular vibration patterns from voice recordings. We were first to succeed in bringing these vibration patterns to the market that sound this natural.
Right now, we're conducting beta tests with our domestic users from NGO to make it easier to use. Our business model is similar to that of a hearing aid. We are planning to hook up with healthcare providers so that doctors can introduce our device to their patients right after their treatment. We hope to make a positive impact in the on the world
I like
by
how
showing
all
that
wearing lab
speech
coats.
Is a right option. Thank you.
Now, wrapping up the competition is Team Tremor Vision. Let's watch their journey to the championship.
Current means of diagnosing Parkinson's and tracking disease progression are subjective and inaccessible.
I'm curious what kind of testing you've done to kind of substantiate that claim.
I would really focus on what's the problem, here's our solution, and here's how it meets.
You know, overall, it was much better than last week's.
We are bringing modern tools to old techniques to revolutionize the way Parkinson's disease is tracked and understood.
All right, guys, let's get it. We got this. Let's go.
Bump it.
Okay, Team Tremor Vision, let's finish strong. The clock starts now.
Parkinson's disease, or PD, is the second most common neurodegenerative disease currently affecting 10 million worldwide. Although there is no cure, treatment can be effective if PD is caught early enough. A universal clinical test to detect PD tremors is known as the spiral test. However, these results are qualitative and are unable to quantify progress. That's why we built Tremor Vision. Things like messages from doctors, progress graphs, and spiral tests to take are displayed here. Our test returns a percentage of similarity to either healthy or PD spirals. Using Azure Custom Vision, we trained a machine learning model to classify spirals using physician-annotated images, storing results and analysis using Azure's FHIR API with HIPAA-compliant schemas. The data collected enables researchers and physicians to gain new insights on the global burden of this mysterious disease. In the near future, we will expand our test suite and increase accessibility to our platform with additional language features and biometric authentication. Partnering with an EHR provider will enable access to Tremor Vision through hospitals and clinics based on a subscription plan. By innovating the way chronic illness is managed remotely, our platform modernizes the way we understand, detect, and track Parkinson's disease. Thank you.
Judges, you now have an opportunity to ask the teams questions. Dawana, let's start with you. What would you like to ask Team Hollow?
I'm curious how the app is able to adjust to the possibility of new normals for an individual.
The behaviors that we're tracking over time can actually be monitored as their normal. So each normal gets classified to that individual compared to the larger trends.
So it sort of is like an anomaly detection, which can really figure out what's happening here.
Got it.
Thank you, Dawana.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Brad, over to you to ask Team Syrinx a question.
How does your solution compare to what you would regard as the best available tool on the market today?
There's a conventional device that is used to produce voice in the American market and in also in Japanese market. But those devices only generate simple waveforms. On our device, we use voice processing tools to make a more complicated vibration pattern right from the voice recording. That changes the voice tone dramatically.
Okay, America, Penelope, what would you like to ask Team Tremor Vision?
Your research on the standards of assessing the spiral drawings on graphical tablets, like a Wacom tablet or either with a mouse. I mean, does it matter that they hold the pen or is it enough that they do it with their finger?
There have been a lot of research with tapping into the pen, like data of angle, pressure, speed, and whatnot. But we thought that if we only focused on the tablet community, it wouldn't be accessible to pretty much the larger Parkinson community.
Thank you.
Well, that concludes the competition. Thank you so much to our team.
Okay.
Now, judges will now cast their vote. Hardly
seems like they had much of a chance, but okay.
We crown our champion. We want to take a minute to share some news that I think all students are going to want to hear. Corey?
Thanks, Kate.
Everybody wins.
I'm excited to announce a portfolio of new opportunities for students to build tech skills and earn key experiences as they prepare for tomorrow's careers. First, we're announcing Microsoft Learn Student Ambassadors. This is a new peer community program focused on leadership through social responsibility and impact. Ambassadors get a first look at new Microsoft tech, contribute to open source, and receive mentoring from pros in the industry. Next, we're launching a new student hub on Microsoft Learn, where we offer free training for leveling up your tech skills. We partnered with UC Berkeley, Carnegie Mellon University, and Oxford to create new content based on their popular courses in data science, cloud development, and AI engineering. And here at Build, make sure you check out the Student Zone. We have InstaFluff, the welcoming and chill live coder on Twitch, prepping students for code
Instafluff?
Challenges. And Crazy Aunt Lindsay from the Fab
Instafluff.
Lab on YouTube.
And Crazy Aunt Lindsay.
And fun to our learning.
God bless her.
I also want to give a shout out and warm
She's
welcome
in the
to
basement
our
last
2020 class
years.
Of Microsoft interns who are joining us at Build for the very first time. Now back to the competition and the moment we've all been waiting for. Judges, it's time to announce our winner.
Is everybody ready?
Yeah!
Okay, here we go.
Can we flip it now? Are we flipping it?
They all voted for their own team.
Oh, wait.
Oh, looks like Hollow won.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the 2020 Imagine Cup World Championship is Team Hollow from the University of Hong Kong.
This is from Hong Kong. This is the mental health diagnostic tool using artificial intelligence.
Oh, my God.
Which also, of course, could be used by Facebook to aim marketing material at you, depending on your mental illness.
The rest of our finalists.
Our show today, Brad, we're going to stick with this for a little bit longer, if you don't mind, because I really would like to get to Scott Hanselman's presentation. Our show today brought to you by LastPass. We love our friends at LastPass. They support all of our news efforts. I hope you saw our LastPass presentation, our panel last week. It was fantastic with Steve Gibson, Andrew Keene, Jerry Buchelt from the CISO at LastPass. We talked about the future of identity in the digital world. And, of course, LastPass is all about identity. Who is who, and are they allowed to use your stuff? And that's what I mean in business, and that's why we use LastPass, because LastPass is the way to make sure your IT department stays in control of who has access to your precious business resources, even when they're at home. And it makes it easy for employees to get their job done. It's the best of both worlds. LastPass can be deployed quickly in the midst of any event, like this recent shelter in place, to ensure your business keeps running smoothly and every employee login is secure. We have our accounting team is at home. Our business operations are at home. Our continuity team is at home. Thank goodness they've got LastPass. Single sign-on manages employee access in a centralized view, so it always can be visible, so IT can see who has access to what, who's working on what, and where they are. Enterprise password management, which, of course, has been always the core to LastPass's offering, it's still the best in the business. It allows IT oversight and enforceable policies across all password-protected accounts. Multi-factor authentication. This is something relatively new to LastPass. We've always had two-factor, but now LastPass can even use contextual factors like geolocation, IP address, things like that, to make sure that the right employees are using the right resources. It's easy for employees, and it's great for business. You should be thinking about additional layers of defense beyond the password, and LastPass does it all. They don't store the master password. They do not transmit the master password. In fact, as long as LastPass can't access your data, which they can't, hackers can't get it either. All encryption and decryption happens exclusively at the device level before syncing. So only users can decrypt their data using 256-bit AES, the best in the business. It's a seamless workflow for your employees, and it's secure for your business. LastPass can help make remote work simple and secure. It's why we use it. It's why you should use it too. LastPass.com/twit if you want to know more. LastPass.com/twit. Let's go back to Microsoft Build, the virtual conference. Is there anything going on right now, John?
And today, here we go. I'm going to show you some really cool developer tools.
Perfect timing.
We'll see if anyone else
beautiful
shows up.
Little
Scott, we're going to see all the things that we can build and all the fun that we can have putting all these different Microsoft technologies, open source technologies, hybrid technologies.
And I love it that
together.
He's sitting on a Sonoma County hillside.
Actually, I did some fun stuff already. My friend Isaac Levin and I have hooked up Microsoft Graph. And
is that where that is? Yeah. That photo's from Sonoma County. Yeah.
See this lighting right here? I've got some Bliss light effects. These are called light effects.
Desktop for
if I go
XP
into Teams and I set it to busy, see, I've got a busy light now. That talks to the graph, talks to this, which is really cool. I'm having all kinds of fun just connecting these things.
He has some
together
Fred Armisen vibes.
I've always liked Scott a lot. He is a great educator for programming. He's been at Microsoft for some time.
Look at this.
But he's very well respected. Yeah, he does have that kind of almost Mr. Rogers, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a partner program manager at Microsoft.
Boop. Boop. Look at that. Fancy Zones. Power toy. Windows Power toy. Lets me rearrange things. And I've got preset regions, which is really, really great for developers. So that's pretty cool. It's my keynote deck. As you know, every developer is welcome. It's all about every developer. We have a Hanselman and Friends today. I'm going to try to call some people, wake up some developers who may be sleeping on an early morning, and show you as many cool demos as I possibly can. Let's see who we can bother first. You know,
Scott's
actually
in Portland.
Kayla, one of my favorite people. Let's
you see him on Twitter all the time on Channel 9. He has three podcasts. He has his own YouTube channel.
Hello.
And he definitely knows how to fill time. He's also genuine, which I really like.
They should put that in Teams. That is like a low key bop.
They should put that in Teams.
Hello?
Hang on.
Virtual background.
I'm doing a thing. It's a keynote. Quiet. I can hear them. They're wrestling or something upstairs. Hi. Sorry to wake you up. I know it's a little early for devs, and you know, most people, geeks, don't get up till like, what, noon? When do you get up at the crack of one? Or what?
The crack of one.
Depends on the day.
Depends on the day. Well, thank you for answering my call. What is going on with your background there? That's a little extra.
Oh, so this is an ASCII representation of Azure running in Windows
it's
Terminal.
It's ASCII. Oh,
that is
my God.
Awesome.
Running
ASCII
in Terminal.
VMSS dashboard.
Check it out. As she moves, it's moving with her.
That is ASCII, and it shows all the little Azure data centers. Very cool. I will be setting that up later. Nice.
I think
that's
a Teams feature.
Thank you for showing me that. That's cool.
It's following her.
So I have got that or she's using this other a Facebook machine portal. That I'm trying to set up. It's like half set up. You know how when you get a Windows machine and you're just like, you know, I've just set it up, right? You get any new machine, you just basically block out the whole day, 6 hour setup machine. And I've got like power toys on the thing. But
Scott ran
else,
a Fido BBS back in the day, as did I. And I think that's when we first encountered each other.
Like a script, and then it'll just be like one and done. It'll be set up.
I like a script. All right, let me switch over to that machine. Is that cool?
Do a little power shell here.
Yeah.
All right, give me a sec.
Bum, bum, bum. Dun, dun, dun. This is the very down home, and I love it. Microsoft keynote for their Build Developer Conference. You're watching it live. Scott Hanselman and a developer friend.
Okay.
And unlike the previous presentation, this is clearly not pre-taped. This is clearly going on live, and I love it.
Cool.
I think it's great.
I transferred the call with Teams. I'm learning how to do that. All right,
feels
cool.
More realistic.
Nice. Let me share my screen.
So he's probably going to launch. Yeah, that's VS Code, it looks like.
Okay, maybe so this is my new machine. It's basically got like Office and Power Toys. It's basically all I have on this computer.
Power Toys?
Okay.
Power Toys.
So we can get you some more dev tools like Terminal or VS Code.
From the past.
All in one script.
Yeah, I have like a notepad that was like full. I have like this list of like all the different stuff that I could potentially install. And it's just like go and get it from the store and all that stuff.
Go and
yeah, so we actually have a package manager that you can use, and then it's just all in one line, and then it'll install everything at once.
A Windows package manager, you say?
That's nice. I use Chocolatey for this.
It's called Winget.
See,
what do you use?
Chocolatey, okay, yeah. Cool. Winget.
So let me do that. So I'm sharing my screen, and let me minimize you for a second. Actually, no, I'm not going to minimize you. Nobody puts Kayla in a corner. I'm going to put you over here. There you go.
In the other corner.
Yeah, in the other corner.
Dirty Dancing reference. Love that.
Okay, cool. So I remember that with Power Toys, the launcher is Alt Space. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. All right, so how do I use this package manager then?
So you can actually just do a command line executable inside Power Toys run.
Ooh, okay.
So start with the greater than symbol, and then you can write winget install terminal. And that'll install the Windows Terminal.
That's nice.
Oh, fantastic.
This is something every other operating system has had for forever. Oop, and it's a really nice thing to have a package manager.
Impress me with your 3D, but I love an ASCII progress bar. That's cool. Okay, that was it. All right, let me try this again then. So I'll run it again.
Mm-hmm.
This is available on GitHub now.
There you go.
As the Windows Package Manager CLI or winget-CLI.
Look at that. I got Terminal.
Yay.
Cool.
Microsoft's
cool.
really beefed up their terminal, too.
Cool.
It's a lot better than it used to be.
You'll give me a whole script, and I'll just run all the different stuff that I need to install.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. That's cool. But, you know, I have been a terminal stan forever. I've been talking about terminal. I tell everyone about terminal. Like, you know me. I'm all about
terminal.
My
terminal. Stan.
But it's been 0.9 for, like, 3 years, right? can I not install another preview of Terminal, please?
I'm not sure how many packages are available.
This one is not a preview. Check the About menu.
Oh, look at that.
What?
Whoa! Air horns.
Yes.
Is this
1.0, baby.
Like, ready for enterprise? Like, everyone install this on your machines ASAP?
It's a big improvement.
Yeah, 1.0 came out today, so you can just go get the full Windows Terminal, no preview.
Very cool.
Finally a terminal
to you and the team.
For Windows.
That's pretty sweet.
That's decent.
I need to get like a launch slide or something and get my PowerPoint up.
Yeah, I think we hid one in your machine. I can grab it for you if that's easier.
Okay, you hid a file. Where did you put this file?
It might be easier if I just take over your machine and open it myself.
Okay.
Yikes.
Let me give you control of my computer.
This is not a recommended procedure, by the way, for people at home.
Oh my God.
That's pretty cool.
Hopefully people watching this.
Developers use this kind of sharing for pair programming, which is great. VS
so
Code
first thing I want to do, let's go to your home directory.
They're using something in Teams that
and
does
then
this as well.
We can just open the file I have in GIMP.
Dork.png.
Oh my God, dork.png.
Mm-hmm.
So hang on, the GIMP is a, it's a graphical app.
GIMP is an open source, the GNU image processor.
Working. Oh my goodness.
So this is a preview of graphical applications working in WSL 2. Ooh. So we're running GIMP on the Linux side.
That is pretty freaking cool.
So this
cool.
is this okay. is an X program, so a graphical program running on Windows out of X.
From my Windows file system to my
what
Linux
does that
file
mean?
System where you put the file.
Initially, when they did the Windows subsystem for Linux, WSL, it was command line only. It was text only. But they've now allowed you to do graphical programs like the GIMP. There's, of course, a ton of very powerful graphical programs available for Linux. And this is running on Windows with Linux using WSL. That's pretty nice.
Not exactly. You could actually just use Teams for coding and using collaboration.
Let me
so that's what they're doing right now. They're using Teams to do pair programming. Pair programming is kind of all the rage these days, where two programmers will work together on the same project on the same code file. And that's what they're about to do.
Let's do that. Over to Teams. We have a keynote team. Okay, cool.
All right, so you want to actually start by calling the bot, getting its attention. So you can do @codeconversations.
Hey,
and
bot.
Then you can start writing a code snippet. So you can start with 3 backticks, and that'll put you into a code block. Ooh. And you can put something like console.writeline and then
I
a string
actually
of
really
like
looked
Hello
at Teams.
World.
It looks like Microsoft's
something
made Teams look exactly like VS Code.
Run the code.
Which will make developers very happy.
You can hear him, right?
Or confused, one or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
No problem.
I got
now we know
that's
it's live.
Cool.
His gardeners have arrived.
Mowing the labor's lawn. So console.writeline got output by the bot, and the bot did the code up in the cloud. Very cool. Okay,
yeah.
That would be great for people to learn how to code.
Yeah, exactly. So we just made a bot using the bot framework, and then this is actually running .NET Interactive inside of it to get the code to output.
That's cool. It's a little meta. But I dig it, and I can see where someone can build on top of this and do all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
This is pretty basic, though.
I mean, so I might have hidden another file on your machine.
I never should have let you ship me this computer.
So you're going to want to go into your Linux file system on Explorer.
Ooh, hang on a second. How do I have Tux in Windows Explorer? And this isn't even the Pro Windows. I'm on Home.
Wow.
Yeah, so WSL 2 comes with a few different things. So you can have Linux, Open Explorer.
You used to have to buy Pro to get WSL.
Mm-hmm. And then since you're running Windows Home, Docker Desktop also works on WSL 2.
Remember, Microsoft is now shipping its own Linux kernel as well.
Put on Visual Studio, Docker, WSL 2, and just party, and I'm still on Windows Home.
Yeah, exactly.
Sweet. Lead hacker. Nicely done. Okay, so here's some C# code. I'll just put that in the clipboard.
Looks like
all right,
he's
that's
using
in my clipboard
notepad.
Now. What do I do with code conversations?
So mention the bot again, get its attention,
code
and then
conversations.
Beep, beep, yep, beep. And then throw the code in there into a code snip.
Done. Run. Okay, it's thinking. Something's happening. Teams is teamsing. Ooh. Oh, that's cool. Okay, so all the console.write lines.
I wish
output,
we could read this.
Like,
me too.
I don't even think if we went full screen, we'd be able to read it.
Yep.
Can you try that, John? Let's just see.
I'm not impressed. It's just console.writeline, though.
He said I'm not impressed.
Yeah, it's still a little bit better with this.
Tough to read.
So the code I gave you has a format.
One of the things we do whenever we're showing screens is we blow them up pretty big so that
you can
read them.
Just deck in a code snip, and then
he's not even full screened on Windows for some reason.
Okay, deck. So the deck is the variable that the deck is held in. Cool.
Yep.
Got some more to run. Let's do it. Ooh,
this
your
code
output
bot
is awesome.
Really interesting.
Open viewer.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a REPL. It's kind of like a REPL for the kids.
Ooh. .NET bot cards. I see you shuffle the deck and visualize the deck. So the formatter
well
tells it how to show a deck. This would be great for folks to learn how to code. And when they're just getting
maybe
started,
not shuffled.
You can
how about
graduate
that?
Into Visual Studio. That's super fun. This is a little meta. And it just looks like it's kind of hacked together, but people can check it out at aka.ms/codeconversations. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep. New bot.
I'm digging it. Okay, cool. Well, I appreciate it. You've given me all the things that I need to set myself up on this new machine with Windows Terminal, WSL2. I'm running on Windows.
Yeah, Chrome. He's posted all the code on GitHub, which is kind of nice.
And maybe get my terminal to be a little
prettier. So even if you can't.
Yeah, your terminal is lacking.
Read his screen. At least you can actually see this.
Thank you for finding my terminal lacking.
On the GitHub page.
Here, I'll show you mine so you can get some inspiration and get on my level. This is what my terminal looks like.
Oh my God. It's very subtle.
Never mind.
I appreciate how subtle it is. There's an understated grace to your terminal. I appreciate that.
That's how I operate.
All right. Thank you. You can go back to bed or coding or whatever you're doing. Thanks for hanging out. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
It's not Hangouts. It's Teams.
All right. See ya.
All right. Bye. All right. Let me get off of this computer.
So we're watching Scott Hanselman's keynote at Build. He's a great developer and definitely knows how to talk to developers.
I like that. So what we
just demonstrated WSL, the new terminal. And something called Code Conversations, which you can see on their GitHub page, github.com/codeconversations.
Because if you got it in the Windows Store, it was automatically updated. And if you want to learn more or download it now, you can go to aka.ms/terminal. Remember, it's fully customizable and it's open source, which is pretty sweet. Also, we saw the Windows subsystem for Linux. This is WSL 2 now generally available. That's near native Linux performance with a real Linux kernel, which is pretty amazing. We saw it integrated into Explorer and we saw a preview of the GUI support. And this is interesting because you've got the general availability of WSL 2, like start using it in your enterprise, update to Windows today, it's great. But if you want to get on the fast train, the innovation in the space of Windows subsystem for Linux continues. We're going to see a little bit of GPU support later in this conversation that we're having together.
Turning Windows into Linux, honest to God. But this is how you appeal to developers. And honestly, most developers are going to either use Linux boxes as I am, or they're going to use a Mac.
Soon, which is pretty sweet.
This is why Microsoft so aggressively pursuing this.
Help using the Windows Package Manager, WinGet. This is really cool because it's open source again. It's going to be hosted, the repository, in GitHub. Set up your machines in one script, supported, secure. And we're going to work with folks like Chocolaty for an integration story. Nice. So you can take a look at that Chocolaty's at aka.ms/WinGet.
So
all kinds of cool
stuff. That's probably the issue.
Setting up
WinGet doesn't have a lot of packages
really, really
yet.
Fast for the developer experience, getting into some code. And actually, before I get into some code, I feel like my theme is wanting. So let me change.
I think it's hysterical that he's using Windows XP.
Before I call my next person, let's make it prettier. Ah,
Mars.
There we go.
Mars.
So we set up some machines. Let's go and call a friend from GitHub, because what better place than GitHub to go and get involved with
code?
This is
one of the better developer presentations I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
They're actually doing something. Oh, it's not Mars, it's Seattle. Okay,
GitHub,
close enough.
This would be a good idea.
You know,
he is around.
New Seattle on Mars.
Yeah. Beep, New Seattle. Bah. That's it. Micah sent me a Slack message yesterday. You're going to learn regular expressions. Is that?
Hey.
That is correct.
Scott.
Yes. I've been meaning to for a long time. There's a dog.
There? What's going on?
Yeah. That's Scott Forstall.
I'm just chilling with my dog outside Scott Guthrie, right now. This is Femto. And I've been inside for like weeks, it feels like. So we've been sitting under the tree and
without
chilling out.
Without Paul and Mary Jo to tell me.
I need to go to my backyard.
I guess that's not goo. I don't know
who
that
is. I'm going to go to my backyard at some point because you're right. I feel like I've been in this room and changing the colors of the lights only simulates the outdoors so much.
Yeah, vitamin D doesn't just come in a bottle.
It does not. How are things going at GitHub? I know that you just acquired NPM, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's super exciting. It's been incredibly busy. I mean, we were incredibly excited and honored to get to work with the NPM team. I mean, NPM
the new GitHub CEO, the Microsoft guy who took over GitHub.
There's over a million packages in it. It gets over 75 billion downloads a month, which just blew my mind.
It's
incredible. And, you know, we have huge overlap
between
the NPM and GitHub communities.
Worked with Miguel Diacaza at Simeon.
Their source code on GitHub. And so there's a lot of opportunity to
One of the reasons I think Microsoft put him in charge of GitHub is he's well respected in the open source community,
which we're excited about too. And so, yeah, it's really fun. JavaScript is a big language ecosystem, so it's a lot of responsibility, but lots of good stuff we can do.
For a long time, when people think about GitHub, they think about free. NPM, you know, is free for people who aren't using the enterprise stuff. GitHub is the same way. But I've been paying my $7 for a private repository for GitHub for years.
Thank you.
It's free now.
You can keep doing that if you want.
It's free now. This is huge, by the way.
More stuff. What is the...
Yeah, I mean, the model in the past for GitHub was pay for privacy. So all the public repo stuff was free. But then if you wanted to do any private work, you had to pay for it. And we made the decision. Actually, this is something we've wanted to do since before we even completed the acquisition of GitHub. But we made the decision to make GitHub free for everyone, basically.
This is really great.
Now anyone can create private repos and private organizations and add an unlimited number of people to them for private work without paying anything. And then, of course, if you're a big company, if you're an enterprise and you need really advanced compliance and security, you pay for that. That still costs money. But, you know, for startups just getting started or students working in school or even, you know, medium-sized companies who don't need to pay for support or that sort of thing, they can just use GitHub. And we want GitHub to be accessible to developers in every country and every place on Earth for any purpose. And so this is a big step in that direction. We're pretty excited.
Very cool. Give me a second. I'm going to go into my backyard because this
is people who somebody in the chat was saying, where are Paul and Mary Jo? They're actually going to be on this stream. They're going to follow after I think Scott Guthrie will follow Scott Hanselman, and after Goo, I believe it'll be Paul and Mary Jo around 11 o'clock today. So they're busy. They're working for Microsoft today. That's why they're not joining us on the stream. It's me and Micah.
If you're on your phone and you're going into your backyard, GitHub now has a mobile app for iOS and Android that you can use that we just put out.
I don't recommend.
And it's pretty cool. Have you tried it?
Interesting. So I could sit back here. I got my hammock situation. And I could do pull requests.
Yeah, I mean, actually,
they're an acquired taste.
Our thesis
they're
when
precarious.
We built it was that people would use it to kind of keep track of their notifications.
Maybe you're just too light.
Top of their inbox, and we were really shocked.
That's really the problem. If you were a larger fellow like me, once you're in the hammock, it's pretty solid.
It's actually
okay. Once you're in it, maybe, and, but the process to get in and out is just
people love frightening. To basically, make sure they're not blocking their colleagues. So if someone's out there and they're trying to get a PR merged. And you can review it for them. It turns out people want to get that done, even when they're on the go. Even if that means you're not really on the go.
For a keynote, days,
just in your backyard.
For a developer conference, this is the most geeky ever. And I'm thrilled. It's exactly how it should be.
Like right now, I can do that.
Yeah, it's right now.
It's a little bit of an ad for the company, but not as much as it usually is.
Like I said, I think it's just about a month old.
That's cool. Another thing that I really been appreciating about GitHub was the GitHub sponsors. You know, like there's so many people, open source is powered by volunteerism. But to your point, people want freedom. Like people want to eat. It would be amazing if people could get paid for the work that they're doing.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, there's a lot of people for whom open source is a labor of love. And there's people who get paid full time to do open source. But there's a lot of people who are doing all this work that is a public good. It goes into a commons that benefits the whole world. And sometimes you want a way to say thank you and a way to actually give back to those people who are giving so much. And so we rolled out GitHub Sponsors in November, so like just less than 6 months ago.
Now, this is a good idea.
As a way for you to contribute money to the people.
If you have
or
a project you like, you don't have to send that. Go out to Patreon to support it.
In the work that you do.
I do support a number of open source projects on Patreon, and it's kind of a pain.
And
you know the Patreon's taking a pretty big
people who tell us now to make rent, which is pretty crazy, actually. A thing that happened pretty quick.
I think it's a great idea.
Looking forward to continuing to see that grow.
So if you're enabling people to get paid, you're enabling people to do work mobily if they want to, what other things could someone potentially do when they – because GitHub is this massive source repository. I want to jump into the code and start working on it right away.
Yeah, actually, that's – I think we've all experienced this. If there's a project that you want to contribute to, or maybe there's something you want to change about it or improve, you know, the first step is always, okay, I've got to get my dev environment set up. I've got to clone the repo and get it building locally and that sort of thing. And sometimes that can be a huge set of tasks and a big kind of piece of friction that even prevents you from contributing to an open source project or to something at your company. And so something pretty amazing, combining the power of GitHub with the power of Visual Studio Code, and it's called Code Spaces. Mm. And what we'll do is we basically put a button on the repo that says code. You click the code button. In the background, we'll spin up a virtual machine. We will hydrate a container in it, which contains the entire development environment for that repo. And then we'll open a new browser tab with VS Code running in the browser. And you literally are connected to that backend container environment. In just a few seconds, you are now a developer on that project. It is
so you could do this, Mike, on an iPad, because all you need really is a terminal.
I'm going to put you down because I want to see this. I want to actually appreciate
you. Check it out.
Unfortunately, it doesn't support the languages I like.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
He dropped into his Lego.
Mike
Town was attacked.
Mike Town was attacked.
Let me put you here.
Look at all he's got. He's got a stream deck.
Actually, let me switch back to this machine. Hang on one second.
That's the microphone I have normally.
There you are.
Until I switched to this one for...
So, Code Spaces, I feel like I need to see this to believe this.
He's pretty adept at manipulating his environment, I got
to
say.
Firstborn, what do you need?
Code Spaces, unfortunately, is only in beta right now.
Talk to the expert. So, do you know Allison from...
Sports, JavaScript, Java, C Sharp, Ruby, Swift, Dart, Python. Python, PHP, C, and C++, Go, Kotlin, and Rust.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to put Lisp in because it needs to support Lisp.
More dog, just one more time.
Oh, actually, yeah, closure
she's
would be nice.
She's run away.
Oh, baby.
Oh, that is a cutie.
All right, I'll see you later.
All right, see ya.
I am now on the Code Spaces wait list.
Now, my using an AirPod instead of Surface platter, as we call the Surface
platter.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my gosh.
A small child.
That's a funny bit.
This is the new thing. Panos Panay was interrupted, and I put that in air quotes, by his child carrying his Surface during his Surface presentation last week. I think it's setup.
Oh, huh? Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get you
I love it that they're featuring female
no
developers.
No worries.
That's
I'm just
great.
Taking little Olive here on a walk. Have you met Olive?
I have not.
More dogs. Femto, please be a dog.
Either that or a child.
Hello.
Oh, it's a
Olive,
it's a dog.
Say hi.
Yeah, developers don't have time for children.
You are such a big, scary dog.
Uh-oh. It would have been funny if it was a turtle.
Security dog Olive sees something.
Olive is a dog's
name,
isn't it?
I know. She's always trying to make sure the house is well protected.
Very, very nice.
What can I do for you?
Well, I was just talking with Nat. So Nat's in his backyard with his dog. And he said that you knew all about GitHub Mobile and then Code Spaces.
That explains why she's on a phone.
So maybe you could show me GitHub Mobile.
Aha, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me go ahead and
so she's like head of the Code Spaces project is what the other guy was saying.
Oh, interesting. Cool.
Awesome.
Code Spaces is a great idea. Of course, there's other lots of people doing this as Replit, which I've used before. That eventually basically allows you to code, in this case, using Microsoft's Visual Studio Code, in a terminal. So you're running a Docker container on GitHub with all of your development tools in there, and that means you can access it from anywhere, from even a low or slow machine, or even an iPad, and get, I presume, and get your coding done. So that's really cool.
So for my team's repo, I can check on issues, I can comment on pull requests, and just stay connected even when I'm on the go, like when I'm walking Olive.
That's cool. Nat was saying that
it's great
really
that Microsoft's really using GitHub in a creative way and making it free. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm waiting in line at the grocery store, at least I can be
productive do my Git commits
and comment on some pull requests.
Well, to be clear,
from the grocery store,
because you like doing that. I would never want to make sure that you have. Like, you can always work
boundary
everywhere.
Setting
you don't have to
people
work if you don't want to work.
Please,
boundary
yeah,
setting.
Please do not
nice flexibility.
Make your
yes.
commits.
I definitely like taking a midday break and maybe doing some grocery shopping to get out of the house. You know, once every 2 weeks, of course.
So if all of us successfully chased away the bad guys, would you mind going back inside and showing me Code Spaces?
Absolutely. Let me get her all settled and I will hop right back on.
All right, cool.
This is cool.
All right. I did not know that you can share.
We're watching Scott Hanselman.
Share mobile. That was cool.
And this is the build keynote, the virtual build.
And then I need to.
And honestly, if they go back to the old format, I'll be upset. This is
so much more
interesting. Of course, they're lucky because Scott is a very adept presenter. He first became famous. He wrote a diabetes program for the Palm Pilots.
You made it. There you are. Olive good?
She is good. She made a run for a bird. She loves to chase them. So I kind of had to grapple her back into the house. But she's got a chew bone and she's happy now.
All right, cool. So let me.
Why don't I believe any of this?
I want to see.
All right.
Can I do this?
Is there actually coffee in that mug?
The great part is I can just walk you through it from here.
All right, cool.
Let's go full screen, John, because I'd love to be able to at least try to see what she's doing here. You're watching the Build keynote, Twit News special.
All right. So go this is to a new aka.ms.
Beta product.
SH onboard. Your startup.
Yes.
All right. So this is onboarding instructions. Here we go.
Install.
Okay. Get the source. There's a lot of.
I like that. There's a lot of vintage Windows 95 program manager.
I don't
really
have this kind of time, but even worse, this is like a day worth of startup instructions.
This is
real typical, though.
Yeah, I've done this.
It's very typical.
Did it yesterday.
But with Code Spaces, we've got a much easier way now.
Okay.
Scroll all the way up. Mm-hmm. You've got that green code button. So click on it. And then open in Code Space.
Ooh.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay.
So everything's already pre-installed.
So yeah. It's a Docker container with everything pre-installed.
We're building it for you right now.
Okay.
And it's going to take care of all those instructions.
I'm not sure. I was hoping you could access this in a terminal. It looks like maybe you have to do it in a browser, but that's okay.
And we're going to connect you to it in the browser.
Yeah, it's a browser.
So basically one button is all you need to get started.
So this is like a development-specific container in the cloud. And, here we go. This is Visual Studio Code.
Yep. Looks familiar, right?
It does, but I'm in my browser. This is cool. All right. It says opening remote.
Yep. It's still got a little bit of setup to happen here. Obviously, building a code space takes a little bit of time, but far less than all that setup.
Certainly different between taking 7 hours to set up a machine from scratch. What are we? We're here complaining about this took like 20 seconds to set up an entire environment. Unacceptable. This is amazing. So it looks like it's done.
Yeah, it's done. You can go ahead and close that creation log and we can reclaim some space.
All right.
And themes are always super cool to have, right? This should look like your VS Code.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So go to that gear icon and we're going to turn on Preferences Sync.
Turn on Preferences Sync.
Yeah.
All right. Turn
in
on.
Preview. So they ask. Let's just sync settings.
All right. So I'll
sync
he's my
taking
settings.
His local VS Code preferences and settings and copying them to the container.
Yep. We remember your GitHub login, so all you have to do is select it.
This is the first
and
time.
And replace local.
All right. Cool.
Now, normally you have to have a Microsoft account for that. It'll be nice if it's just a GitHub account. That would really be great.
Isn't that great?
This is cool. It's very interesting. This is very familiar because this is the way I have it set up.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It should feel like home no matter where you're accessing it from.
Ooh, I like this. Okay.
Great. So why don't you open any file? Public has a map.js. That's our main one. And you can see all the colorization.
Wow.
Everything you'd need to get started.
It's nice and snappy, too, which is great.
And the code coloring has been updated because the theme has a certain thing. It really is my Visual Studio. Wow.
Yep. I love it. So also, do you want to have a party?
Ooh, you know about my aliases.
I do. So why don't you go ahead and open up an integrated terminal? I usually do that with Control-Shift-P, then type in terminal.
Okay. And I also use Control-Tilde to bring up the terminal as well. So Control-Shift-P. Yeah, so everything is exactly where it should be. Okay, so here I am in my terminal.
All right. You ready for the party?
Let's party. Yes.
Whoa.
All right, so this means my .files came in as well. Like, it knows me. It really knows me.
That's his. That's yep, his.
It's just how you like
that's
it.
His dot files. That's cool.
That is really cool. Okay, so if it knows me, then does it know about like my PRs and all the different stuff that I work on?
This is a truly portable workflow, which is really great. It means anywhere you can do a browser, including a extension. Google Chromebook,
I think you're gonna wanna click those
three dots. iPad.
Any extensions here? Go to GitHub.
All right.
A Linux box. You'll have full access to your.
You'll see I put a little surprise in there for you with Dependabot, because I know you love Dependabot.
I freaking love Dependabot. Dependabot is such a joy.
Yeah. Could you tell me a little bit more about what it does? To be honest, I put it in there.
It's either an adult diaper or it protects you with your dependencies. But I'm
like a person that works for you, that watches your dependencies. And it will go into pull requests.
Fortunately,
so like here,
it's the latter.
Dependabot went
you guessed
noticed
it.
That the MongoDB dependency bumped from one version to another. And what I love about it is it will go and pull the release notes out. It'll basically do an inclusive, you know, like I want everything from this version to that version, and it copy pastes it in. You can even go and see each individual commit between these two versions. And oh, it's lovely. And then you can go and do and
I want Dependabot
merge directly inside of VS Code inside of code spaces.
Bro, do you even Dependabot?
It's basically like you're working local but from a browser.
That's so awesome.
This
okay,
is
well,
really
wait a second.
Great.
If I'm working local from a browser,
would presume that that container is persistent.
Yeah, so go over to your debug.
Oh, that's yeah, I would hope so.
All right.
And just go ahead and click the run button
just
or you can
use
any of your shortcuts.
Okay. But this is going to be like localhost 5000 or something. How is that even possible?
Yeah, how
so
is that possible?
So what we do is we actually have a port forwarding service that is going to take that localhost on the code space
localhost
and
3000?
Actually forward that to your local browser.
No.
So if you go ahead and open that.
That's some strong voodoo.
Yep. Go ahead and follow that link.
That's very cool.
That seemed impossible.
That is really cool. That's kind of important because you need to be able to look at your work.
And then
you'll
get to see the
going.
Olive tracker for real.
Nice.
So, unfortunately, Olive hasn't really been to the Midwest or the East Coast.
So
pretty much stuck in Seattle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, don't zoom in too close. Kids.
We don't
want to
tell
exactly
her
privacy.
Click on any of them, you'll get a cute little photo.
Oh! I
that
like
so
Olive
cool.
Tracker. I need
I
one.
I want a Henry and Mizzy
awesome.
Tracker.
Henry and Mizzy tracker.
This is wonderful.
So let's go ahead and close this and switch back to our code space because we are going to live share.
I'm going to close this tab?
Yep. Close that tab and go ahead and stop debugging.
All right.
This is a really great demo.
Cool.
I am very impressed.
Back. All right.
I've signed up
so
for
go
this.
To the live share extension.
Right now it's pre-release. It's invitation
yes.
only.
All right. Cool.
Perfect. And there my name is all lit up. So you should just be able to invite me directly.
Okay. Invite. Starting
so this was that
session.
Pair programming I was talking about where they're
awesome. I got your notification.
This is something that's been around for
Visual
a while
Studio
in Visual Studio,
which is what I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm joining right now. As you
it's
can
nice
see.
That you can use VS Code with Visual Studio,
so
the paid
it is
product.
Visual Studio in GitHub.
VS Code's
the
open source Electron based.
Well, I'm
free
on Visual
version,
Studio connecting to your code space in the
prefer.
Cloud through LiveShare.
I see. So anyone can use the tool that makes them happy. I'm in my browser. Oh, and you're actually selecting stuff, and you can see my selection as well.
Look at that.
Absolutely.
Cool. I'm going to use LiveShare all through this whole thing today. This is fantastic.
Yep. It's a great way to collaborate. And we're
as long
so
as
happy
your internet's
to enable people
connecting.
To really yeah. connect virtually, even when we have to be apart in physically.
Very cool. I think I actually have a
good
slide
on, this.
On code spaces, and we can learn about how people can get this right away.
Awesome.
Right away. I signed up.
Yeah. So if you'd like to try out the experience, well, you've already tried it out. But if you have any friends who want to try it out, they should sign up at that link right there for the private preview for our GitHub integration. But if you don't want to wait for
I
private
requested
preview,
early
you
access.
Can actually try out Visual Studio Code Spaces right now. And
so GitHub version is
try it out with Visual
where
Studio,
you have to wait, but Visual Studio, you don't have to wait.
Well,
Scott. You can sign up. For
it's all on GitHub. Yeah, if you already paid for Visual Studio, which is Microsoft's big boy IDE and for .NET, they of course let you in right away. But for those of us using the free VS code, we have to request early access. But it's a really cool tool. I'll be playing with that a lot.
Awesome. I'll catch you later.
See ya.
A really nice way to play with a GitHub project because or work in a GitHub project because it's, you know, it's ephemeral. You're not messing up your machine, installing a bunch of dependencies, and we've all done that. Just screwed everything.
Yeah, actually, yes. That happens to me all the time, installing a bunch of stuff.
Oh,
wow.
Sneaky Scott Hanselman. Did you catch that?
That we're watching. Clever.
That's a good background. I
drank too much soda.
Oh, let me set that up really quick so I can go make a cup of coffee.
All right, let me change my theme, too. I'm feeling very Visual Studio-y.
He seems to like those retro themes.
Purple.
No, it's too purple. No, no.
There we go. That's nice.
Oh, he's lit his room purple, too. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
So we saw all the things that we can do in the browser, but we also saw how Codespaces is powered by Visual Studio Code. So let's take a look at what is in there. Visual Studio Code has over 21,000... Can't really move that window. Has over 21,000 extensions. Right? You can develop locally, remotely, or in the browser, as we just saw. One of the best parts is that you can synchronize all of your settings.
It's great. And all you can use VS Code for almost any language. So there's extensions for every language. It's great.
The way that you work is the way that you work.
Yeah.
Synced to the cloud.
VS Code's quite nice. I wish it were an Electron based because that makes it heavy, but it works very nicely. It really is good. And I use it on Linux all the time.
Notice that it improves all the time. Every quarter, there's a new version with new improvements. We saw IntelliCode,
so you've
got AI-assisted IntelliSense, Live Share, being able to collaborate across versions of Visual Studio with Live Share, GitHub integration. We'll see some cool stuff with that. Remember also that version 16.6 is out today. Version 16.7 Preview 1 is also available today. You can find a new Git experience, brand new Git experience, directly integrated into Visual Studio 2019, which is fantastic. The other thing that's worth pointing out is that .NET Core 3.1 continues to march on. So many people are using it, and it is in long-term support. That means that you can do work, start a new project on .NET Core 3.1 now, and you will be supported for
We're going to wrap as soon as he wraps this, because we do want to get to iOS support, today. But I think this has been a great presentation. I've really enjoyed
different
it.
Different versions this is the best part, of .NET sure. not yeah. affecting each other, as well as self-contained EXEs. So you
and we
can
do
put
want to thank LastPass, our sponsors, for all of our Twit events and Twit news. And, of course, our studio sponsor as well.
The modern web UI.
For giving us the wherewithal. LastPass.com/Twit. You've got to use the best password manager out there. Oh, he's very purple.
Actually, you know, let's give Maddie a call. She knows all about Visual Studio development, and she can probably help me with this idea that I have.
I'm a little less interested in Visual Studio because it is a proprietary tool. It is for .NET. And so I think maybe this is a good time for us to cut away, though. If you are interested, of course, Microsoft Build continues on for the next 2 days. As soon as Scott Hanselman is done, I think Scott Guthrie is supposed to come on, and then Paul and Mary Jo will wrap the presentations for the morning. So there's a lot more you can go to watch on Microsoft's own streams. If you want to do it, thank you so much to LastPass for giving us the wherewithal. I think it's been a great hour and a half spent. Satya Nadella kicked us off with his usual impenetrable vision statement.
trying to figure out what that meant on his wall there.
I don't know if I learned. Yeah, we don't know what that RGV 2CW. We still don't know, but I'm going to guess that's some sort of love code, but I don't know.
Somebody said it could be an Easter egg.
It is definitely
that
an Easter
will be
egg.
Revealed.
It is definitely an Easter egg. There's no doubt about that. He also announced a new Microsoft attempt to unify their legacy code bases called Project Reunion, bridging Win32 and UWP. Kind of snuck it in. I'm sure we'll learn a lot more at Build about that. This is the idea is. It is a single platform, a single tool allowing all developers to develop for all versions of Windows. And I think the real point of it is to get developers who have Win32 code out there running on, in businesses and so forth, just to at least move it to Project Reunion so that Microsoft can move on from Win32, which is a historically insecure and difficult platform. Yes?
two live updates. One is to let everyone know out there that there is now a Twitter account at RGV2CW. But also,
of course, there is.
It is the word devs encoded in Base64.
Base64 devs.
That's the answer. And thank you to at R4MONES on Twitter for letting me know
that. That is fantastic. Wow. Base64.
So if he did three of them, then it would be a Easter egg for Scott Ballmer. Developers.
I'm following this Twitter account immediately. And of course, the image from the Twitter account is the RGV2CW on Satya Nadella's shelf right below a succulent. That is fantastic. That is a really clever Easter egg. And whoever thought, of course, Base64, what, of course, that had to be. We also saw and I've already forgotten the name of it, the awards ceremony for the...
Oh, yeah. What did they call that?
Unforgettable awards for the student innovators who created the Something Cup.
And was it Platforms Cup?
No, the Innovators Cup, the... Innovation Cup, the Imagine Cup. That's it.
Imagine
the Imagine. Thank you, John Slonina. The Imagine Cup. We saw the winners, Team Halu, who will never be heard from again. We also, it's interesting. It was a mental health platform used to diagnose mental health issues using artificial intelligence. Students from, I think, it was the University of Washington. And then finally, a very fun presentation from Scott Hanselman, which I think I will continue to watch when I get home tonight because he is so good at. Presenting the Imagine Cup. That's the name of it. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thanks to LastPass. Thank you, Micah Sargent, for getting up early. Don't leave. iOS Today is coming up as soon as we can move to the other studio. Thanks for joining us for this Twit News Special, Microsoft Build 2020 Keynote. I'm Leo Laporte for Micah Sargent. Have a great day.